everyone. Welcome to the newest episode of the Film Station podcast. We're going to be reviewing Guy Ritchie's Sherlock Holmes, Nancy Meyers' It's Complicated, and Jason Reitman's Up in the Air. With me is co-creator and editor Dan Mecca.
How you doing?
And editor Adam Hardy.
What's up?
So, yeah, we're just coming off Christmas break, and we've seen Sherlock Holmes and It's Complicated, and Adam and I will be reviewing those, and then Adam will step out for Up in the Air, because Dan and I saw those just by ourselves. Okay, so we're going to talk about Guy Ritchie's Sherlock Holmes first. Now, Guy Ritchie, I'll just give a brief intro. He directed Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels and Snatch, two of my favorite movies. And then he went on and did Swept Away, and which didn't really get that great critical praise. And then he did Revolver, which not too many people enjoy. It's not a great movie. And then he did Rock and Roller, which is kind of a return to form. And then this is his first kind of big budget entry. And so, Dan, what did you think of Sherlock Holmes?
I thought it totally delivered. You know, I thought it was exactly what I expected from what I saw in the trailers and what I expected from Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law and Guy Ritchie kind of working together. And, yeah, I mean, you know, it wasn't as intelligent as the original Sherlock Holmes, you know, the Arthur Conan Doyle stories, and probably not even as intelligent as like the Basil Rathbone Sherlock Holmes movies, but Robert Downey totally stole the show. And it was one of the more enjoyable movies I've seen this year for me. Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Adam, what did you think of Sherlock Holmes?
I thought it was really good. It was a lot better than I think it probably should have been when they were going to make it. Like a few problems it kind of had, like it took a bit to get to like the main storyline. Like I kind of felt like about 15 minutes in, 20 minutes in, I was like, are we going to get to the bad guy? Or like, it was just kind of slow build up. But then once it was going, like I had some pretty, pretty good laughs out of it. Like when you get into talking about how he was going to like punch somebody or whatever, and you go like step by step, I thought that was pretty funny. But
yeah, I agree. Those are some of my favorite sequences.
Overall, I thought it was, it's pretty clever.
Clever is a good word.
I don't know. I thought it was a fun blockbuster. But after it kind of gave me, I know some people compare it to like Wild Wild West. Like it's not as bad as that movie, but there's some of the CG, like some of the set pieces and stuff kind of felt like that. And some of the dialogue, but it was a very fun blockbuster. But I think, walking into the theater, I just kind of shrugged and kind of forgot about it. I don't know if you guys had the same. I mean, is this a movie you're going to revisit?
See, I don't know what you're like. The dialogue I thought really worked well. I mean, I didn't really, there was never a point in the movie where I was kind of like, this is so, cammy dialogue. I thought, sure, there was probably some lines like that, but the chemistry between Jude Law and in Robert Downey Jr. was just really, really good. And they played off each other really well. I definitely didn't leave kind of being like, well, that was fun, whatever. Like I left talking about it and kind of enjoying the different things that I had seen and everything, and also Hans Zimmer's score, which we can talk about a little later. But
yeah. I think it just took me a little while to warm up to it, because this is my first. I know obviously Sherlock Holmes, a character, I know what he's about, but I've never seen any previous movies with him in, and I didn't know the kind of style. So maybe when I revisit it, if I do so. I think, but I don't know. I was just expecting a little bit more from Guy Ritchie. I felt like he tried to include a lot of his, like, like all the slow motion stuff that he is known for, slow motion and that you can see in Snatch and other things. And then I felt like he was kind of almost not forced, but to have this kind of, I don't know. I just didn't think the story lived up to his style, if that makes sense. Like at the end.
Well, the end was pretty lame because it was the most heavy-handed setup for a sequel like I've ever seen. Like it was like they should have had like a flashing neon sign that said "There's going to be Sherlock Part 2." Like it was ridiculous. Like
yeah, but see, okay, yeah, I agree with that. But that's Sherlock Holmes, though. I mean, like Sherlock. And when Basil Rathbone did the movies, it was Sherlock Holmes and the House of Fear. Sherlock Holmes and da 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 da. Like Sherlock Holmes goes with Watson to do this. Like it was one adventure after another, and so it kind of doesn't, it makes sense. Like I like that they set up for another movie, because Sherlock Holmes takes on case after case, and so like it would make sense that Moriarty, who's kind of the main villain from the books, would come into play there. And, you know, I like that they didn't just jump into him being the main villain originally. So, I don't know. I like that a lot.
Now, what did you guys think of some of the side or supporting characters? Like, I thought Rachel McAdams was kind of underused.
Yeah, I agree.
And even Mark Strong, I was so excited for him. And he does, you know, he plays the part well, but I think they should have just done more. I was happy, though, you know, Anthony Peckham, who wrote Invictus, I was kind of worried because Dan and I saw Invictus. You know what we think about it. And so I think he, like, delivered with a fun blockbuster, you know, script compared to Invictus, which was a little dry.
I agree. Yeah.
I was actually kind of I mean, some of the end was bad, but I thought the way they brought all the elements together, which is, I mean, kind of spoilers, but because there's a couple sequences where you're wondering why they're doing the things they're doing, and like, you know, there's some like insert shots of Sherlock, of you know, Robert Downey Jr.'s character Sherlock. He's looking at things, and you're not quite sure. And then at the end, it kind of brings it all together. I thought that worked well.
Yeah.
Anything else you guys want to just talk about in terms of Holmes?
I was concerned that they cut out the corset scene with Rachel McAdams. I was really upset about that. In the trailer, she's wearing that corset. And then in the movie, it wasn't there.
That,
I have no idea. I was very disappointed.
I did like her, though, in the movie. I mean, I don't think she had much to do, but I liked her as the femme fatale.
Now, what do you guys think about, you know, sequel potential with, you know, the talks of Brad Pitt coming in? Do you guys want to see a sequel to this film? Do you think it will get one?
I think it definitely will. Like, it wasn't so good that you question whether a sequel can be made. Like, it was just in the kind of medium zone where you can make a nice episodic kind of sequel kind of series.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when, you know, that people talk about Dark Knight and stuff all the time. They say they can't have a sequel because it was so good. Like, that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, it wasn't such an amazing film that it can't be lived up to. And it has a nice serial storyline, of course, because you're like Holmes, the way the books are written.
Mm-hmm.
But you can just kind of go right through a bunch of stories. I think it'll have a good sequel.
Cool. So is there anything else you guys want to discuss about? Do you want to talk about some of the set pieces? Like, I thought the scene with the boat. And, you know, I forget who plays that big guy, but I've seen him in a couple other movies. But I thought him and Sherlock Holmes, when they fought together, I thought that was, you know, I liked that part in the trailer, and I'm glad they did a lot more with it, you know, when he comes back at the end of the film and stuff like that.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it definitely worked. I mean, I liked how that set piece included. I liked how most of the action kind of revolved around Sherlock being smart, you know what I mean, and figuring something out that would be very clever in terms of how to win in a fight. Even though he's like jacked and everything in this movie and all that, he still defeats, for example, in the boxing in the beginning, he still defeats the guy by thinking rationally about how he's going to do it. So that was fun.
Yeah, I really like the locations in this movie. Like, I thought they did a good job in terms of, you know, because I mean, I assume they were you know, mostly comprised and almost entirely of CG. But, you know, with the boats and the that whole scenery, I don't know. I really liked that they did a good job with that. And I don't. Do you guys want to get into spoilers? I feel like this is a film that people can just kind of check out, and there's not too much to discuss.
Yeah, I mean, we don't need to get into spoilers. We don't have to.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, for Sherlock Holmes, I think, you know, I think it's a fun movie. I don't think it lives up to, you know, Richie's greatest films, Snatch and Lock, Stock, but it's fun. Robert Downey Jr. gives a great performance. Yeah, and Jude Law also does pretty well. I wish they did a little bit more in terms of the story and some of the supporting characters, but definitely check it out. What do you guys, Dan, do you think people should see this movie?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think it's a really good, you know, one of the better blockbusters of this year. And yeah, just definitely a really fun thing that most everybody can see.
Adam, what do you think?
It was definitely a really solid, like, Christmas release, like a blockbuster studio film that people can go see with their families. And like, and I think it's going to have a good DVD run too, because it's one of those movies where it's not too, like, I feel like I could watch it a few more times. Like, I could go to the theater and watch it again. Like, it's not, I don't, like, it's good enough that I could see it again, but I'm not going to, like, go try to buy a ticket like today, you know? Like, if someone asked me, do you want to go see it? I would be totally happy with seeing it again. And I think that it has some good kind of repeat viewing value to it.
Yeah,
I think it's pretty solid. Yeah.
Cool. All right. So Sherlock Holmes came out on Christmas Day, and yeah, check it out if you can. All right, the next film we're going to be talking about is Nancy Meyers' It's Complicated. This film, it stars Meryl Streep, Steve Martin, Alec Baldwin, John Krasinski. Now, this film, I don't think it's really our target demographic. I don't think we're the target demographic for this film, but I actually had a... I know, I don't know. But I think it actually wasn't that bad. You know, watching the trailer, I was really excited to see Alec Baldwin, you know, after his whole success with 30 Rock. And I like how he played it a little differently here. And yeah, so I think this was a fun movie. And I think John Krasinski is the best part. I don't know. Do you guys agree?
The best part of the movie?
Yeah.
I would say that the Alec Baldwin is probably the best part of the movie. But John Krasinski, yeah, I agree, is definitely... he was a surprisingly effective part of the movie.
Yeah, it took a while. I mean, anytime I see John Krasinski in a movie, I've seen so much of The Office that it's like hard. You know, when I first watch him, you know, even in Away We Go, it just takes like just a few scenes to warm up. So initially, what do you guys, Adam, what did you think of It's Complicated?
So yeah, I thought the movie was pretty funny, but it was like in a stupid kind of forgettable, like it was kind of cheap laughs almost. Like I just kind of depresses me that like Steve Martin gets roles like this, because the guy is hilarious. He's one of the, you know, classic comedy characters, like actors, and he gets this really shitty kind of role with a very bland rom-com kind of feel. And personally, it was a little too cheesy for me, like a lot. Like the whole movie was just a big ball of ridiculous cheese. Like when they're one of the scenes at the beginning and they're at the table and someone says something, and then like one character looks at the other, and then the camera pans to the other, and that character looks at, and they went character by character with their heartfelt stares at each other, and I wanted to freaking blow up. Like it was the cheesiest scene I've ever seen in my life. But that being said, like I did laugh like several times, and I mean it was moderately enjoyable.
Yeah, I don't know. I consider myself, and I know Jordan knows this, I consider myself a kind of a sucker for like Nancy Meyer movies. Nancy Meyer movies. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like I haven't not liked anything that she's made, just in terms of pure enjoyment, you know. Even like The Holiday, which I know is probably her like least mm-hmm. well done movie, if you want. I do really enjoy it for what it's worth. And I agree with you, Adam, totally. Like there's some scenes in this movie that are just, it's very sitcom-y, you know. It's like, oh, I can't believe this is happening right now. Like, what a quirky situation that these characters have gotten themselves into. But like, I don't know. I mean, I think it's because of like Alec Baldwin, Steve Martin, John Krasinski, Meryl Streep that they make it work, you know. And I think that in most of her movies, Nancy Meyer, I think in most of her movies, it's the actors who really kind of take her material and push it to the next level, you know.
Yeah, we talked about this earlier with Meryl Streep. Like, she is just amazing. Like any, like just the little things she does with acting is just, you know, what we said. Like, if you just read the script, I'm sure it wouldn't be as funny as, you know, just the way her expressions and different things. I mean, she did a great job. I thought some of the child acting was a little weak and like a little. There's some odd things in the beginning of the film. But I think once they started taking some chances towards the end, like with, I know Adam made fun of the. Their portrayal of marijuana in the film.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Now, I'm pretty sure that the writers have never smoked in their lives or ever seen anyone smoke.
Well, actually, that was the most ridiculous pot
smoking. Yeah. It's like, you ever smoke pot? It was like the cheesiest thing I've ever seen in my life. I was just like, I think I was laughing at the movie, you know, like at it more than I was like with the jokes in the movie.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. What's funny though is like, we're talking about how great Meryl Streep is, and she is so great. But that one scene, when I was watching, I was kind of like, ah, Meryl, not really what it's, you know what I mean? It almost seemed like she was off key, that scene, where Steve Martin wasn't quite as off. You know, it seems like he had more of a grasp, at least with just like the facial expressions.
Yeah.
That was funny. I mean, he definitely had some laughs. But yeah, you're right though about the beginning, Jordan. There was definitely some like strange things that happened in the beginning where you're like, oh, I wonder what kind of movie this is gonna be, you know.
So. Yeah, like when the son was talking about how they're gonna have some party, like and just some of the, I don't know, some of his acting was just didn't seem to fit very well. I don't know.
And also, you know what the one thing about this woman's movies, which is always apparent in all her movies, is they're about middle-aged people, and that's great because like there aren't enough movies that are about that age demographic, you know, and that is interesting. And they're very interesting in their own right, obviously. But they're always really, really rich people, and like they have these problems that are problems, sure, but like it's just kind of funny because
yeah, that's what people said. It's like the title's it's complicated, but it's really not that complicated. Like
it's, you know? Yeah, it's like Meryl Streep, like Roger Ebert in his review, he wrote like, you can believe that this is all going on if you're willing to believe that Meryl Streep's character sells a whole lot of cookies because she owns a bakery and like she lives in this villa in Los Angeles, and it's like, really? Because I'm pretty sure Marlon Brando lived in a smaller house. Like, it's just so funny. And so like, yeah, these problems, like, oh, I'm having sex consistently with my charming ex-husband, like, and there's another guy who wants to be with me. Like, we get it. We've all been there, I'm sure, but it's almost like, shut the fuck up. You know, it's like, what do you, like, just deal with it. Deal with your shit. Like, why are you... Also, the other thing that made me angry was the fact that Meryl Streep had, like, five really solid girlfriends, you know? Like, there's some women that age who don't have that many friends, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, she really has everything she could want, so I don't know.
I just felt there was definitely some scenes that I just felt uncomfortable. Like the scene with, as you brought up, the five girlfriends, and they're talking about how their vaginas are gonna close up.
I thought that was funny. You didn't think that
was... I don't know. I just felt, I was like, this seems like just some, you know, I don't know. It just seemed like,
well, because it made me think that like if I were that age and like I was drinking wine, like if I were like, you know, a middle aged woman and I was drinking wine with my girlfriends, you know, kind of like in solitude like that. That would be a funny thing, like a funny, crazy thing to talk. Like, could you imagine kind of a thing? I don't know. Like for me, that was one of the truer, if that sounds right, scenes of the movie where you're like, oh, like that's funny and weird, and I could see someone like that talking about shit like that. I don't know.
Yeah. But I think one of my favorite scenes, if you want to talk about it, was when John Krasinski catches them at the hotel.
Oh, probably the best scene in the movie, I thought.
Yeah. And Adam, what did you think about that too?
Adam is not with us anymore.
Okay, I think Adam had to step out. Dan and I can talk about it. All right. Yeah, I thought just his facial expressions, and he knows that he can't have his fiance. They're not married, right? Is it his girlfriend?
No, they're married.
Okay. Oh, that's right.
Wait, no. Well, no, they're not married. They're planning their marriage.
Yeah, they're planning their marriage. Yeah. And just trying to get her to look away. He just handles that stuff so well.
Well, that was what's funny. Like, that was a very not slapstick, but kind of like slapsticky kind of a scene where it's like a play, you know, like, you know, one setting, one guy has a motive, you know, there's a bunch of different characters, all the shit's going on at the same time, kind of like a play. And like that one scene was great, but like, of course, it's in a movie that kind of is within this rom-com, you know, formula. So it really couldn't step out that much. Oh, but just quickly about the rich thing, a scene that really pissed me off, though, like the scene that pissed me off the most, and Jordan, I don't know if you remember this, but you remember when the younger son, mm-hmm. like they're in the city and they're gonna go to the apartment, like they're going to some apartment and
for some party, right?
And his fiance, they're having a party. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the younger son's like, and Meryl, she's like, is there anything I can do? She's like lonely and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And Meryl, she's like, is there anything I can do to help you guys? And the kid's like, give us your credit card. and she gives him her credit card. And she's like, oh, kids.
Kid. Yeah, I know. Like, kids,
your fucking son's 20 years old. Like, you're giving him your credit card? Like, doesn't he have a job? Like,
it's complicated, you know?
Oh.
Yeah. I know what you mean. There's some stuff.
Like I would never ask my parents for a credit card unless it was like to buy something that like could only be bought on a credit. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, that made me cringe. That scene made me cringe. But anyway.
Well, I think we've had enough of it's complicated. What do you think? I would not recommend going to theaters. There's just too many other movies out there right now. I don't know. Do you agree?
Well, yeah. unless you're in, you know, an older, you know, middle-aged kind of like.
Yeah, if, I mean, if you've been through divorce or something, if you're older, you know, I think this will.
Even speak. I mean, you don't have to be through. Even if you're just, you know, middle aged and like you want to go to a nice date movie, I think it's a great date movie. I mean, my mom saw it; she loved it.
Oh, she did. Oh.
Yeah, she loved it. Like, she saw it with her girlfriends. Da da da. They all loved it. Went out to dinner after. Like, that's a great. Yeah. Go, yeah, do that. And then, but like, if you're probably people who's listening to this podcast,
if younger, you're 21, yeah.
Avatar, and then if you've seen Avatar, see it again, and then if you've seen it twice, maybe see Sherlock Holmes. And...
Yeah, there's just other stuff out there. And in terms of, I think Golden Globe wise, I think this is a good Golden Globe movie. I don't think Oscar people have been talking about Oscars. I don't think really. You think Meryl Streep?
Maybe Alec Baldwin. Yeah, they were talking about it, but I guess not really.
Yeah. All right. So moving on, the next film and the last film we'll be discussing is Jason Reitman's third film. This director who has actually had a great decade. He debuted in 2005 with Thank You for Smoking, and now he had Juno 2 years ago, and now he has Up in the Air. And this film, I saw at Toronto Film Festival, and then I just had a chance to check it out again a couple weeks ago, and it's getting a wide release this week, so we're going to discuss it. And so this film is based on a book by Walter Kern, right, Dan?
Yep.
Yeah, and Dan, you read the book, correct?
Yeah, I've read the book. Yeah.
So we can talk about kind of the differences and different things with that. But so many differences. Yeah, I actually was listening and Jason Reitman talks how he, you know. Anyways, we'll get to that later. Yeah, so this film stars George Clooney as Ryan Bingham. And he kind of, you know, leads an empty life. His job requires him to go from city to city and then work for companies that are too scared, if you will, to fire their own employees. So they hire this company. And he's, you know, he's kind of led this life and he enjoys it. And he has a very down to a T. And then all of a sudden, the company who is run by Jason Bateman, his character, he brings in a Cornell graduate, Anna Kendrick, who plays Natalie Keener. And she kind of has this new system that she wants to employ. And yeah, so it's kind of and her system is firing people over the internet, over computers. So it's kind of this back and forth. George Clooney brings her on a trip. He tries to teach her that, you know, you can't just fire people through computers. This is a very personal, very serious thing we're doing. And then there's another female character, Vera Farmiga, plays Alex. And it's kind of a love interest. And so Dan, what did you think of Up in There?
I really built this movie up for myself because I didn't get a chance to see it until it actually came out in theaters. And like most of the people that I know were able to see it before then, you know, just pre-screeners. You saw it at the Toronto Film Festival.
So yeah, it had a big festival run, yeah.
Yeah, and so the build-up for it was huge. Most people loved it, this and that, movie of the moment, all that bullshit. So I went in and I saw it, and I definitely really liked the movie. I really appreciated it. It's a very timely movie. There's some really poignant scenes. The acting is great, spot on for the most part. The writing is definitely solid, and the directing is fine. But I don't know. There was just some real problems I had with it. Just in general, like the firings that go on that open the movie. The movie opens with reactions of mm-hmm. people getting fired. And they're real people who got fired, and that's great and everything, and the authenticism of that is appreciated, but unfortunately their recalling of getting fired isn't that authentic. You know, and maybe it's because I knew that these were people who had gotten fired beforehand. You know, maybe if I had just thought they were actors or something, it would have been more effective, but like it felt to me as though there were people trying to reenact this thing that had happened to them, like when you tell a story, you know, a day after it happens to you, and it just doesn't feel, you know, as good or sound as good because you're just reenacting it and you're not in the moment. So I had a problem kind of believing those scenes. And then like there's some comedy in this. It's a very funny movie. It's a very funny movie. There's some very funny lines and everything. But there is some comedy in this movie that is just out of place. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, there's a scene, not without giving anything away, there's a scene towards the end where George Clooney's character, Ryan Bingham, has to, like, talk with this other person about, you know, something that's going on with him, like, kind of talk him through his troubles. And there's funny jokes within their dialogue, but then there's this other person who is like reacting in the background to it, and the camera cuts to her reacting to it a couple times, and it takes you out of the scene, and it's kind of funny, I guess, because she's reacting, but it's like the way she reacts is very, it's very hyperbolic.
And, oh yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And it's not, and like it's not the right place for a shot like that or a laugh like that. So I feel like things like that, Jason Reitman hasn't quite really figured out how to control yet. Like if you watch a movie like Thank You for Smoking, there's stuff like in that movie too, and in Juno everything's a little bit more contained. And even though I'm not gonna say that's his best movie, it's probably his tightest movie, Juno. But then there are other really just great scenes in it too. But yeah. I'll stop talking now. Yeah.
To respond to you, I mean, first of all, I saw this film at Toronto. I absolutely loved it. And then seeing it again, there are some problems that come out. People, you know, that actually got fired in the beginning, I thought it was fine because there's kind of like that exposition with like, it's kind of like a montage of what he does for his job, but then they bring it back at the end, and that's where it doesn't really work because it's in between just this, you know, you're already invested in this story. Do you know what I mean? You know, when they bring back the,
yeah, it's like, yeah, I didn't like that. Yeah. You're right. Because it's like it's like an establishing shot of people getting fired. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know how, like, if you want to break up acts, you like do an establishing shot of like, you know, the hotel where the main character is staying at. It's almost like, because Ryan Bingham doesn't live anywhere.
Yeah.
Like these, which is interesting, I guess, in itself, but like the establishing shot is just the people that he fires, and that did not work for me at all.
Yeah. And, yeah. And then to respond, I do agree about the later thing, but anyways, we can talk about anyways, I think this is a film that, I mean, I'd be hard pressed to find anyone that doesn't find something, out of it. I mean, it's a very, mass appeal, if you will, film, and I think it definitely is his most mature movie. I mean, for people that have problems with Juno, I think their problems mostly lie with the script, and I think this, you know, this one is written by or adapted by Reitman, so I don't think you will have the same problems. And I think that this is one of George Clooney's best performances. I think he does a great job. I know we talked about it's kind of like an old school, you know, Cary Grant or you know, some like the early dialogue scene where they talk about credit cards. And they're different. Oh,
that's the best scene of the whole movie, I think.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you just don't find things like that in movies anymore, you know? There's not.
Yeah, you don't. It's old Hollywood, you know, coming to life. Yeah.
And talk about using a little to show a lot. The shot with Vera Farmiga right before, or right after they have sex. Like, yeah. He could have gone all out and shown it, but I think, you know, just the behind the tracking shot of, or the dolly, I think, of, of her. Anyways, getting to, you know, some other characters, I think Anna Kendrick. Now, I haven't seen Twilight. You might talk. Have you seen Twilight? She's in Anna
Kendrick. Yeah, I saw the first one. It's kind of just, there's almost no point in even bringing it up. She plays a high school.
Oh, okay.
She plays an annoying high school girl. And I guess she does a good job because she's really annoying. I don't
yeah.
Like. I don't even consider it real. I mean, it's not like a real performance. I'm not trying to hate on Twilight at all. I'm just saying that it's, you know, it'd be like any high school movie, her being a supporting character, it's kind of, you know, but this is definitely a step forward for her, for sure.
No, and it's funny talking. Jason Reitman, he included, you can see Zach Galifianakis in the beginning here, and even Danny McBride, he said he actually shot the film he casted them and shot the film before they're kind of, you know, before they were kind of in the spotlight, and he said it was kind of annoying because at all the screenings, people just, as soon as Zach Galifianakis came on screen, they would just laugh out loud, even though they weren't really, I mean, you know, that shot, but he's only there for a little bit. But I thought you know, there's a great cast of supporting characters, even Melanie Lynskey, who was in The Informant, and Leaves of Grass, and what was the other one? Oh, Up in the Air, and I think one more, but
she was in Up in the Air. We're talking about that right now.
Yes, I know. No, but Away We Go. Away We Go was the other one. I'm sorry.
Away We Go. Yeah.
And it was nice. Shut up, Dan. No, it was. You know, it's just nice seeing her. I think she's a great.
No, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I can't wait to see more of her. Just as the years go on, for sure.
Yeah.
I liked Anna Kendrick a lot. She's getting a lot of praise. She'll definitely get a supporting actress nomination. But But just even, and so you're talking about the writing, Jordan, and like, yeah, I agree with you with Juno. I'm sure that is why most people have problems with that movie is because of the screenplay. But I kind of had some problems with this screenplay too, though. Like, and my one of my biggest problems was the Natalie Keener character. In some respects, I thought that Anna Kendrick gave a very good performance, and she was very funny in spots. But in a way, she's almost there just to bring out the, like, almost like to spell, not, almost to spell out Ryan Bingham's character flaws in case, like, the audience hasn't realized in some cases. Like, there are some scenes where she is talking at him and saying, like, this is the way you are, and this is, like, what you're all about. And then George Clooney's kind of like, ah. And it's kind of like, well, we knew that. Like, we knew that, didn't we? Audience, like, that are watching this, like, didn't we know what she's saying? So, like, why do we need to hear her say that to him? And why does he need to act surprised? Like, it seems kind of out of place. Like, it seems like he has an idea of who he is, even if he's not admitting it to himself, you know?
And yeah.
So scenes like that, I felt like Raymond didn't need, but felt he did, maybe. I don't know, because this was a movie that was eventually going to kind of be, you know, pushed at this period of time, you know, for awards and everything. And so I don't know, that kind of irritated me a little bit. But how did you feel about that?
Yeah, I thought she, on second viewing, I thought there were definitely scenes like that. And in terms of George Clooney's character, a lot of problems people have with this film, it seems like, is that George Clooney, by the end of the movie, he doesn't really change too much. And do you agree with that? I mean, we can get into spoilers now, I think, and just kind of talk about quickly about the end. And do you think that he actually went through a type of transformation?
Yeah, no, well, yeah, so spoilers from here on out, so stop listening if you haven't, you know, if you have not seen it. I think that he goes through change, and I think, I mean, I personally like the way that his character ended, because he goes through change, and then you're meant to question how big that change was, if any, you know, and I think that that is, I mean, it's real, it's, we all deal with stuff like that. You know, I'm young, but there's been times even in my life where, like, I felt like I've changed for the better, whatever, for the worse. And then a couple days later, you realize that you're kind of just bullshitting yourself, and really things are the same way.
Yeah, that's right.
So I appreciated that part actually a lot. And that kind of, in a lot of respects, saved the movie for me. But, like, one of my favorite scenes, and I personally think the scene the movie should have ended on actually, is the scene when he gets his 10 millionth mile. And so what happens is, you know, then they give him, the stewardesses come out, and they're like, 10 million miles, you know, they give him this awesome looking card for having the, like, 10 million miles. He's the seventh person to do it. And then the American Airlines pilot comes out, and, like, and he's like God, essentially. It's like this really interesting scene. He, like, comes out, and he's sitting next to George Clooney, and George Clooney's, like, you know, talking to him and everything. This is a line from the book, which I appreciated the change, though. They gave the line, the context change. Sam Shepard asks him, Sam Shepard? No, Sam Elliott.
Right? Yeah, Sam Elliott.
Asks him, where are you from? And George Clooney kind of looks at him with this, like, sad, but sad but also contented face, and he's like, I'm from here, you know. And it's like, it's just like, that's the saddest thing in the world, you know what I mean, that, like, you would be from places where other people are going, you know what I mean, like, and it's,
well, that's the thing with the end of the film, like, he sees the life he could have with Vera Farmiga, and obviously then that dreams are shattered. But the fact that at the end, the last shot with him, you know, looking up, well, the second to last shot with him looking up at the board, and he could either, you know, go home, or he could keep living this life of, you know, city by city, or, you know, he could try to find someone else. And I think the film, instead of trying to force us to think, you know, he loved what he had with Vera and is looking and might look for, you know, for the similar thing, I would have no problems with him, you know, keeping and living the life, you know, that he's that he's had for the last 20 years or 30 years. I'm glad that Reitman kind of left that open. And
I agree. I mean, I kind of didn't like in the book Ryan Bingham is divorced.
Oh, okay. And I know that.
And so you kind of have more of a feeling for why he's doing this. You know, like it makes more sense. You know, he tried and failed, and he kind of has nothing tying him down. So, or when he was offered to do this specific job, you know, flying around and firing people, he didn't have anything tying him down. So he did it, and you know what was initially temporary became permanent, right? But in this movie, you kind of don't get any explanation. You know that he's never been married, and it kind of felt like, well, then you know, what happened? Like he's got his family seems fine. I mean, they're.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I was like, you know, the scene, it was kind of heartbreaking when she's like, well, you're never really around, you know, you're never given advice. And I was wondering, you know, why, just what pushed him away, you know, there was nothing.
Right, well, so I kind of wish that maybe Reitman had left in that past. Maybe he had left in the whole thing about him being married and stuff. And like, and also, and what I do love about George Clooney, and, you know, the whole him being really just a staple of old Hollywood is, Ryan Bingham really is an incredibly unlikable character if you just think of him in terms of what he does. You know, he ditches his family. He only thinks about himself, I guess, up until the end, really. But even in the end, he's really thinking about his own needs. And really just really not actually that nice of a guy. But because it's George Clooney, you sympathize with him just because he's a movie star, you know, kind of in the way that you sympathize with Michael Clayton, you know, which is George Clooney, you know, Michael Clayton character. Because I mean, Michael Clayton is not a good guy either. I mean, he's a cleanup boy. He's a mop boy for bad people, you know. And it's interesting how he kind of has that power, you know. Not many people.
This was a great role. Built for him almost, you know.
Oh yeah, almost built for him for sure. Yeah.
So you know, I think we can close this out. I think this is definitely a big Oscar contender, and it'll be interesting to see how it does against, I think, you know, Hurt Locker and Avatar, as we talked about before. And I think this is definitely, everyone should check out this film though. There's something in it for everyone.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, we'll close out this episode of the Film Stage Podcast. Dan, where can people find?
On the Film Stage, always writing for the Film Stage Podcast. Look out for our Top 100 of the Decade coming out in a couple of days. That should be a fun read.
Yes.
Or a controversial read. And then also just Twitter. Twitter.com/DJMECCA.
Yeah.
I post there every day. So.
Yeah, and also check out Meryl Barr, one of our writers, also has a kind of a co-podcast called Spotlight, where they discuss, you know, interesting topics. It's not really
more technical
stuff. Or and we, Dan and I actually just guested, and we talked about the year in review, counting down our favorite movies, our worst movies, and overlooked films. And we talked a little bit about 2010. So check that out. You can find me writing at the Film Stage every day, pretty much. And yeah, check out our top 100 films of the decade. And yeah, you can find me at twitter.com/filmstage. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. We're not sure what review, but we will find a movie to watch, I'm sure. All right. Have a good one. Bye, guys.